Lauren has been a long time. Over 2 years ago, I think. Thank you. I was so traumatized to try to get here. Long story short, my car died.
Oh.
I called our mechanic and he came and he worked with it and worked with it. No resurrection. Now my car died and in the meantime before the mechanic got there, my phone rang and it was my grandson who lives with me. So they informed me that he had been in an accident.
Oh.
And I thought, okay. God is in control here because I'm about to lose my mind now. I'm already trying to figure out what to do with the child. He calls. I need to know that, first of all, that he's okay. He's okay. Okay, so he can't get there Friday, but he'll be there Saturday afternoon. I said, okay, he's really dependable. So he came and he worked and da-da-da-da-da and nothing. And he says, I don't know, you're going to have to take it to a dealer or something. I said, no, I need a car. I love my 2007 Chevy. I love that car. But anyway, I called a few people. I called my other grandson who's in Washington, D.C., and I called my other granddaughter who wasn't able. And finally, I called my sister who had a previous engagement with her daughter. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm done. I don't know what to do. And I went into a meltdown. I went into a panic mode. It's like, and I didn't have the information of who to call or what except the priest. And I called the church and left this message. I tried to leave a message. I was so over the top because they probably said, I don't know who this crazy woman is. And then I called the pastor and left a message. And he said, these two unwinged angels tell me to assure me that they would pick me up so that I could be here this morning. And I am so grateful. Imagine an L waiting in or something. Where are you? Again, thank you. Thank you so much. I don't know if for those who were here, you remember the three things I shared with you about God's grace. One is that God loves you. The second is that God is not mad at you. And the third is God has forgiven you all. Everything. Past, present, and future. Now, you know, I walk. God loves you. Doesn't matter what you think about him. It doesn't matter what your status is, how old, how young, where you live, where you work, how much you make. Don't matter. God loves you. You. Just because you're you. And because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, God loves you. Before you wash your face, before you brush your teeth, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to either or. Yeah, that's something you can do. You can accept it or not. You can think I'm crazy or not. But I happen to believe the word of God that said God so loved the world, and I happen to be in the world, that whosoever believes, and I believe, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God so loved. God so loves you, and God so loves me. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. You may as well stop coming up with all these crazy reasons why you think you're not good enough or what you've done and why God is not could possibly love you. That's a lie of the enemy. God loves you. You got to say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Oh, that wasn't good enough. Come on. All the trauma I went through, God loves me.
God loves me.
One more time.
God loves me.
All right. All right, that's much better because God does. Number two, God is not mad at you. Now, I'm telling you, we all know that we've done some things, said some things that the royal eyes have been.
that you ought not to have. See, and we sit under this teaching about, you know, God, Almighty God is angry with us. Meaning, it's not so much that God is angry with us, but God can't become angry with us because God has this big book and he's making a list and he's checking it twice and he ain't Santa. And so it's like, your name is Jack, and under Jack, you did so and so and so. That's what we say in our minds, and when something happens to us, we feel that we're being punished because of something we did. Because God is punishing us. But let me tell you something. You are so fearfully and wonderfully made until God has given us the power of choice. God is not some big puppeteer sitting up there in the sky, orchestrating what you should or should not do. The Word tells us that. The Word is our God. And we have a choice. We can follow the Word, or we can do what the heck we want to do. But, and God is not that. But according to your choices, you reap the benefits or you suffer the consequences. If you run a red light because you don't see anything coming and the police pull you over, you're mad as I don't know what at the police and nothing coming in. You broke the law. All you had to do was wait for the green light. But no, Mr. or Mrs. Speed Golly, you couldn't wait. And so you get stopped by the police. Police writes your ticket. You are so mad. And that's what I get, and it's what you get for the choice that you made. God had absolutely nothing to do with it. God has already made us. We are totally complete. And God is not dictating. He's loving us through his word. So it's according to your choices that you reap the benefits or you suffer the consequences. If I say don't put your hand on the hot stove, that stove is hot, be careful, and you touch it, hot. But you made the decision to do it because you wanted to. So number one, God loves you. God loves you. Skinny, fat, short, tall, it don't matter. White, black, it don't matter. God loves you. And sometimes we walk around feeling so unloved. That is not the truth. God loves you. Say it again.
God loves me.
All right. So according to your choices, you reap the benefits or you suffer the consequences. It's not God. It's what you choose to do by the power that God has given us as wonderful human beings whom he loves. He's given us the power to choose. And the last one is you are forgiven. Now let me tell you. You are forgiven all. You are forgiven all. When I say all, I'm talking about past, present, and future. You are forgiven all. All the stuff you did that you shouldn't have done, all the stuff you did on purpose and you knew it was wrong, you are, not if, there's a condition here. If you repent, that means if you stop doing whatever it is that you know you didn't need to stop doing, and you say, God, forgive me, it's a done deal. It's as simple as that and as hard as that. Because we can even go back in our minds when we were adolescents. And we knew it all. And our parents were just old people with old ideas. And we made up our mind that we were going to do what we wanted to do. Or whatever else you've done. All of us are guilty. All of us have done something. But we walk around with that sense of guilt. That God is mad at us. And I'm here to tell you that it's not the truth. God is not mad at you. You're mad at you. You're not perfect. You never will be until you cross over. But you're working toward it. You're walking toward it. So all the stuff that you've done, all the stuff you will do in your humanness, past, present, and future, You are forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Say it again.
I'm forgiven.
One more time.
I'm forgiven.
Okay. Now, I think that the only place there's a catch to that is you have to forgive others. You just can't walk around and be free because you forgive them. But you have to forgive others. And even before that, you have to accept the truth that you are forgiven. I don't care what it is. Don't tell me I'm not taking confession. God knows what it is. And if you truly apologize, which is repent, and stop the foolishness, it's over. You are forgiven. Anybody with me? You're looking at me real strange here. I'm forgiven. The catch is we must forgive others. Now, if you think that's easy, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. Is it doable? Yes, it is. Will it change you? Yes, it will. You have to accept that you are forgiven, that God holds nothing against you. I'm trying to tell you, you are loved. It makes no difference who you are, where you're from, what you've done. God loves you. Are we clear on that?
Yes.
We clear on that?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Number two, God is not mad at you. Stop being mad at yourself. Yes, you are human. Yes, you made mistake. But God is not holding it against you. God is not mad at you. God loves you. God is not mad at you. And believe it or not, God has forgiven you everything, every crazy, every purposeful, every deceitful, everything you have done. And because we don't know that we love, and we don't really know that God is not mad at us, then we don't really know that we're forgiven everything. So we want to think so, and we believe some things that we confess are forgiven, but I'm here to tell you God forgives everything. Now, what complicates that a little bit for us in our humanness is when God says, I want you to do the same thing, I want you to forgive. Because I have sense enough to know there's some things that we walk with that has affected us, that will always affect us the rest of our lives. There are some things that have been done to us, said about us, that will affect us the rest of our lives, that wounded us in a deep place. Growing up, we may have had abusive parents, abusive other people, things that have been said and done to you and to me. I'm not standing up here because I'm perfect. I'm standing up here because God's grace. God loves me. God is not mad at me, and God has forgiven me all. You will never know how freeing that is. And some of you have been through hell. But God says forgive. Some of us had to forgive those who were responsible for us and misused us and abused us. For those who lied on us, for those who stepped over us, for those who got the promotion that we should have gotten, for those who don't hear us when we know that we're telling the truth, or for those who steal the glory of our own ideas, forgive them. And I wrestled with that for years. I know you're surprised. Yeah, I did. For many reasons. First of all, I'm black. I know you didn't know that, but I just thought. Second of all, is I'm a black woman called into ministry in a predominantly white denomination. Now, if you think that there were reasons that I needed to forgive, baby, let me tell you, you would be absolutely wrong. But I held on to, I know God loves me. It doesn't matter where I'm from, who I am or what color my skin is. I am loved by God. Second of all, God is not mad at me because he loves me. And I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And so are you. Okay? Now the third thing is with this forgiveness thing. I said, okay, now hold up. You know what so-and-so did. You know what they did. You know da-da-da-da. You know the politics of this church. You know that. I said, I don't know. I can't do that, Lord. And Spirit said, I will help you. But you have to be willing, at least willing. I will help you. Because the Spirit of the Lord dwells in each one of us for what's best for us. Have you ever thought you was going to do something and somebody felt like something said, no, don't do that? And there were times when you said okay, and there were times when you didn't, and you could beat your own self up. Or, I knew it. Something told me. That's God's way of walking with us, of forever being present with us. But let's get back to forgiveness. So, I thought about, maybe I'll go to a forgiveness session, you know, where they have group meetings and stuff like that. I went to a couple and that didn't work. The one I went to, it was convicting, self-convicting. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this suggestion that they said. I'm going to make this list. I'm going to get quiet and pray and get holy, you know, and summons the presence of the Lord in this space. And like I'm trying to fool God, like all of a sudden. And so I started making my list. I sat there for a few minutes, and it's like, but once I really got quiet and I started writing who I needed to forgive and what I needed to forgive. I mean, I even put our dog's name down there. Because he chewed up my meat belt to my meat coat. And I was so angry with him. And all my kids, I put all their names. And it goes even deeper than that. But what helped me the most is when Jesus said from the cross, oh my goodness, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. And I thought that, you know, I've always heard that, and it was like, wow. But this particular time, and I'm going to share with you what I wrote. When Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. But I had to go back again. With you all today, you are a sweet group of people. You have. Thank you, God. Okay. From the cross, we hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I'm like, Father, forgive them. Forgive who? Them. The fickle crowd. Those who cry, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that same crowd that later shouted, crucify him, a few days later. Don't hold it against them, Jesus said. Grant them pardon. Father, forgive them. The chief priests and elders, the Sanhedrin court, council, the Pharisees and the scribes, Pilate, the spineless governor, don't hold it against them. Grant them pardon. Father, forgive them. Those who chose Barabbas and shouted, crucify him, and followed me from judgment hall to judgment hall, taking delight in my suffering and shame. Don't hold it against them. Father, forgive them. Those who spat on me, who tied me to a post, who beat me with the cat of nine tails until my flesh was like oatmeal, barely clinging to my bones,
Don't hold it against them. Forgive them. Forgive them, those who mocked me, those who crowned my head with the wreath of thorns until they cut deep, causing the blood to run into my eyes, my ears, my nose, and my mouth. Don't hold it against them. Father, forgive them. Those who threw the heavy purple robe on my battered back and slapped me with their open hands. Don't hold it against them. Bring them heart. Father, forgive them. Those who cut down a tree and formed it into a rugged, rough, splendid, yielding cross. Don't hold it against them. Forgive them. Father, forgive those who laid my battered and bruised body on the rugged cross. Those who broke the stakes that fastened me there, through my hands and again through my feet. Don't hold it against them. Bring them pardon. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Those who mocked and jeered at the feet of the cross, but of the cross. The soldier who threw the spear that pierced wide my side until the blood and water contained in my body ran out like a woman in labor. Father, don't hold it against them. Forgive them. The disciples who walked closely with me for 3+ years, but followed afar after my arrest, and then fled out of fear. They promised to love me. They loved that I shared meals with. That I talked. We walked together. I even washed their feet. And one of them denied knowing me. One of them betrayed me. And the rest of them abandoned me, except one. And that's the one who stood at the foot of the cross with my mother. But all now deny knowing me. Father, forgive them. Don't go on with this. They didn't know what they were doing. Father, forgive those who lifted high the cross on which my bloody body was affixed and placed into a hole dug deep enough to hold it on Golgotha's heel. Forgive even those who dug the hole. Don't hold it against them. Father, forgive them for the rugged, rough cross when each movement jarred my body and tore open even more the wounds already sustained, the splinter and loose wood lying pieces and bits into my body in the open wounds that were caused by the blast from the cat of nine tails. Father, forgive them. The disbelieving thief, and receive with me this day the one who believes. Don't hold it against them. Father, forgive them. In Isaiah 53, it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hallelujah. And by his stripes, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all for you. We say, Father, forgive us. But we knew not what we were doing. And the catch of that is, you are forgiven, but you must forgive others. If you don't forgive others, I will not forgive you. When you think about all that Jesus went through for you and for me, and from a cross, he's asking God to forgive all who participate, everything
that happened to him, and don't hold it against them. And we ask God to forgive us, and God does. But he says, just as I have forgiven you, I want you to forgive others. No matter how hard you think that is, no matter how long you've been walking with it, no matter how deep the hurt, how hard the pain, forgive. It will set you free. It will open doors for you that you can't even begin to imagine. It will give you, it will open and soften your heart and give you love for others. Now, when I say forgive, I'm not talking about, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me? That's too much. No. Don't get it twisted. That's not what I'm talking about. Some things cut deep, and the wound is still there. Forgiveness is going to help the wound stop oozing. When you forgive, it's for you, not for the other person or the whatever the situation is. It's for you. It heals you. It strengthens you. It releases you. Forgiveness is a gift we really give ourselves, but we are so deceived, we think we're doing it for somebody else. And the somebody else that we may be holding all against, they go on about their business. They probably forgot your name. Or even what caused the rift. It's you who are aching, who is twisted. And God loves you so much. He's like, no. Bring it in. Lord, I did so. Lord, have mercy. You are forgiven. Because I love you. I'm not mad at you. And I'm forgiving you all. And I'm asking you to go and do likewise. Forgive your brother or your sister. And those of us who have siblings, I have siblings. And one of the things my mother used to do when we would have these over-the-top disagreements, and she'd come in there and she said, stop it right now. Well, he didn't. No, she didn't. And she would always say, give me your hand. She said, after all, this is your sister. Oh, this is your brother. And I would be so upset. It's like I'm not dealing with identity. I know who this is. Let me just jet slap her and get it over with. But no. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. The same thing. After all, you're my sister. You're my brother. I can't hold it against you. And neither can you hold anything against me. And that's what I came to say. Forgive others just as God has forgiven you. And he's forgiven you everything. He ain't mad at you. As a matter of fact, he thinks that you are absolutely wonderful. Go figure that. Coming and going. Sleeping with. Working appointment. You all that. God loves the man. He has forgiven you everything. And he's not mad at you. He doesn't have anything against you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And that's for all of us. Not just me. I finally became convinced. It wasn't easy. I know I may sound like, oh, this is just, don't be cruel. It's been a struggle. And sometimes it continues to be. I'm human. We like to hide behind that. But God is God. God is all-knowing. God is forgiving. God is loving you right now. Has never unloved you, even when you unloved yourself. Even when people made you think that you didn't deserve something or you weren't worthy. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. He's not mad at you. Now see, that gives me peace. I can't, it's like, yes for me. Amen for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For me. Forgive it all. Oh, did I say, you say I'm forgiven? Everybody say that. I'm forgiven. Say it again.
I'm
yourself and say it.
I'm forgiven.